that are from this decade at least, as well as projects they're excited about and projects they're proud of. You don't have to listen to the podcast to find that list. That list is available on our website, radiosurvivor.com, for today's the show notes.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Hi, this is John Hall. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 Acre.
This is Rob Sapper, host of Overlooked, WGXC's excursion into underheard and overlooked music. Overlooked is now on fourth Tuesday of each month from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Each show is themed, connecting disparate types of music in new and uncharted ways. That's Overlooked, 12 to 2 on Tuesdays.
Remember, during the current WGXC Tower Power Pledge Drive, from now through October 28th, there are three ways to donate. You can go online to wgxc.org/donate. Go to any WGXC or Wave Farm webpage and hit the donate button, or use the donate button on the Wave Farm app that's now available for both Apple and Android users, and it's free in the App Store. Or besides going to wgxc.org/donate, you can call 518-697-7400 to make a donation. That's 518-697-7400. And this pledge drive, now through October 28th, you can also make a donation in person at three local record stores: Spike's Record Rack at 395 Main Street in Catskill, John Doe Books and Records at 434 Warren Street in Hudson, and the Boom and Bloom Record and Flower Shop at 2176 Route 145 in East Durham are all also taking donations for WGXC. If you go there and buy a big stack of vinyl records, you can tell them to make part of the proceeds go to WGXC. Just ask about WGXC at the counter. They'll give you a free WGXC bumper sticker if you want, and you can make a donation in person at Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, John Doe Books and Records in Hudson, and the Boom and Bloom Record and Flower Shop in East Durham, or go online to wgxc.org/donate and help out during WGXC's Tower of Power pledge drive.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Friday Night Racer of Hartsdale, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Here is this week's environmental news from WGXC. Go to the WGXC newsroom, WGXC.org, for more about these stories and others.
Raymond Pignon is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County communities of Austerlitz, Hudson, and New Lebanon have endorsed the state's Climate Action Council's scoping plan. Officials in all three municipalities declared their support for the plan, which calls for, one, the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions by 40% below 1990 levels by 2030, 2, accomplishing net zero emissions by 2050, 3, meeting 70% of electricity needs from renewable resources by 2030, 4, meeting 100% of electricity needs from zero emission resources by 2040, and 5, ensuring a just and equitable transition that leaves no one behind and dedicating up to 40% of the benefits of clean energy investments to disadvantaged communities. The New Lebanon Town Board unanimously adopted a resolution emphasizing a halt to investments in fossil fuel producers. The measure also calls for support of proposed advanced building codes that would improve the energy efficiency of new buildings. The Austerlitz resolution notes that more than half of what New Yorkers now spend on energy leaves the state mostly to purchase fossil fuels, and local communities would be better served by keeping energy spending primarily within the local economy. The measure was approved by the Austerlitz Town Board on a vote of 3-2. In Hudson, Mayor Kamal Johnson signed a unanimously adopted support resolution which, and I quote, affirms the critical importance of meeting the emissions and equity goals of the Climate Act, which will help mitigate dangerous warming while delivering the additional benefits of improving public health, economic opportunities, agricultural land and open space protection, and quality of life for the people of Hudson, end quote. You can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Rick Carlin is reporting for the Times Union that the Riverkeeper Environmental Group is getting a $150,000 grant from the State Department of Environmental Conservation to begin to remove the Mill Creek Dam. The group says it will help American eel and river herring travel from the Atlantic Ocean to this stream off the Hudson River in Rensselaer County. George Jaxman, senior habitat restoration manager for Riverkeeper Environmental Group, said, and I quote, "We're trying to restore the creek for migratory species. Since colonial times, the creeks one by one got walled off and dammed," end quote. This dam was built in the 19th century for a felt mill. The numbers of both eel and herring have fallen lately due to overfishing and disease. Riverkeeper estimates there are 1,600 dams on rivers and streams in the Hudson Valley. Riverkeeper is targeting dams that present the first barriers that fish swimming up the Hudson River might encounter after they head upstream. Jackman said, and I quote, "Those are the ones that are strategically important to us," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Heather Bellow reports in the Berkshire Eagle that bird feeders are not illegal in Great Barrington. The Western Massachusetts town did recently pass a new wildlife feeding bylaw. The new rule allows bird feeders, but says all food sources, such as bird feeders or unsecured garbage, should be removed within 48 hours if it is drawing a bear or other wildlife to a yard or neighborhood. Birds, though, are allowed to keep eating. But if a homeowner disregards a warning about unwanted wildlife outside dining, then fines kick in, with the first fine at $50, a second and beyond at $200. The new bylaws read, and I quote, "This regulation shall not be interpreted so as to prohibit bird feeders or bird feeding. If a bird feeder or bird feed is determined to be the feeding source of nuisance wildlife, causing an attractant issue or a public safety threat, the bird feeder and seed debris shall be removed within 48 hours," end quote. Great Barrington Board Chair Michael Lanoux said the law is for repeat offenders. He said, and I quote, "The whole thing is kind of unfortunate. It's usually one or two people," end quote. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. Scott Stafford reports for the Berkshire Eagle that beginning November 1st in Massachusetts, it will be a state code violation to put textiles and mattresses in the trash. By adding textiles and mattresses to its disposable ban, the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection is to reduce the amount of waste buried in the still available space in landfills, according to the DEP officials. John Fisher, DEP Deputy Division Director for Solid Waste, said that, and I quote, 95% of textiles recovered can be reused, end quote. The DEP's final 2030 Solid Waste Master Plan establishes goals to reduce disposables statewide by 30%, from 5.7 million tons in 2018 to 4 million tons in 2030. Massachusetts residents and businesses dispose of roughly 230,000 tons of textiles every year, even though 95% of it could be reused or recycled instead of thrown away. About 6% of the waste delivered to combustion facilities for disposal is made up of clothing, curtains, towels, and other fabrics. Massachusetts has 5 landfills left and 3 will be closed by 2030. Textiles that should now be recycled include pants, shirts, skirts, dresses, tops, jackets, pajamas, doggy beds, hats, gloves, shoes, blankets, sheets, pillowcases, and mattresses. A list of places in Massachusetts that will accept textile goods for repurposing or recycling is available at the DEP website. And you can read the full story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Medicare for All, a winning prescription. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Early voting in the 2022 midterm elections has begun in many states, and inflation, the economy, and recession are top concerns for most voters, according to the polls. Democratic political consultant James Carville's quip from the 1992 presidential campaign, "It's the economy, stupid," has been getting lots of use lately. If true, though, it's odd that health care has hardly been raised as a campaign issue, even though it accounts for 20% of the U.S. economy. U.S. health care is a complex patchwork of public and private entities and programs, resulting in the most expensive per capita health care in the world. Yet the health of people in this country, on average, is worse than in other wealthy nations. A key driver of this disparity is the hugely profitable private health insurance industry that has inserted itself between patient and doctor. This broken system consumes hundreds of billions of dollars annually and should be central in every election debate. One solution to this uniquely American problem would be adoption of single-payer health care, or Medicare for All, eliminating private insurers entirely. In a 2019 academic paper entitled "It's Still the Prices, Stupid, Why the U.S. Spends So Much on Healthcare," Johns Hopkins University professor Gerard Anderson and colleagues explain U.S. per capita health spending was $9,892 in 2016. The U.S. spending level was 25% higher than that of Switzerland, $7,919, 108% higher than that of neighboring Canada, $4,753. Dr. Steffi Wohlhandler is a primary care physician and co-founder of Physicians for a National Health Plan, which advocates for a U.S. single-payer system. She appeared on Democracy Now! In November 2020, explaining,
What we really need is to provide good insurance to everyone. We call that single payer, or Medicare for All. It's a type of system that the rest of the developed world has, like Canada, like Scotland. And, you know, you enroll in insurance the day you're born and you keep it your entire life. It's not free. You pay for it through your taxes. But it's a much more efficient system because you don't have all this administrative complexity and hassle that is eating up a huge share of U.S. healthcare spending, probably more than a third. So by simplifying healthcare, moving it away from a business to a public service, you save a lot of money that allows you to cover everyone and also remove copayments and deductibles, which have been a major problem in the ACA, especially for people with exchange coverage.
The COVID-19 pandemic has exposed enormous gaps, flaws, and inequities in our healthcare system. Widespread access to publicly subsidized vaccines here has radically altered the course of the pandemic. But COVID-19 is still causing deaths and hospitalizations and stressing our healthcare delivery system, especially frontline healthcare workers. The CDC reports 323 people on average are dying daily from COVID in the U.S. This mostly preventable death toll is predicted to get worse this winter as people move indoors and new Omicron variants emerge. This week, Secretary of Health and Human Services Javier Becerra extended the COVID-19 public health emergency for another 3 months. This provides for a significant array of taxpayer-funded support, like free COVID vaccinations and testing kits. Perhaps more importantly, the emergency declaration extends added access to Medicaid coverage and CHIP, that's Children's Health Insurance Program. When the public health emergency ends, HHS estimates up to 15 million people will lose their health insurance. Medicare for All is largely absent in media coverage. Could this be related to the media's money stream, the constant barrage of pharmaceutical and insurance company advertisements? Nevertheless, single payer is being championed by many progressive candidates. Representative Cori Bush, Democratic Congressmember from Missouri's 1st Congressional District, is running for re-election as she completes her first term. Cori Bush is the first African-American woman representing Missouri in Congress. The formerly unhoused single mother is also a nurse. In her just-published memoir, The Forerunner, she writes, "As someone who's been either uninsured or underinsured for most of my adult life, I know what it's like to be burdened by thousands of dollars in medical debt and to have to seek out routine medical care in an emergency room rather than with a primary care doctor. And as a nurse, I've seen too many patients forgo mental health services or be forced to ration their insulin because they couldn't afford the cost of treatment or medication. It's also why I fight for Medicare for All, including for easy access to comprehensive mental health services and affordable prescription drugs, because healthcare is a human right and must be guaranteed for everyone," unquote. The unmitigated greed of private health insurers and drug companies is a major driver of inequality in our society. Medicare for All is a long overdue prescription for our ailing healthcare system. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
New York's foliage report says that some areas are past peak this week, while others will see peak colors. The report says, and I quote, Foliage throughout the Catskills will be mostly past peak this weekend. In Greene County, the town of Catskill will be at peak with nearly complete leaf change and very brilliant orange, yellow, and red leaves. Spotters reporting from the upper elevations of the county in Windham report that foliage is now past peak, but some bright patches of red, yellow, orange, and purple leaves remain. Ulster County observers in New Plants expect peak colors this weekend with 90% leaf change and a bright mix of yellow, orange, and green leaves, while spotters reporting from Bel Air Mountain Ski Area in High Mount expect conditions to be past peak with nearly complete change and very brilliant seasonal colors. In the Hudson Valley, most of Columbia County will be at peak, with communities like Hudson featuring around 70% leaf change, with bright and bold shades of orange, gold, bronze, and amber, along with some fiery reds, end quote. See New York's Foliage Report for complete details. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, it will be sunny with a high near 65 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 39 degrees. And on Sunday, a chance of rain after 2 p.m., otherwise it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 62 degrees. And Sunday night, a chance of rain before 8 p.m., it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 50 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Rehearsing and nursing a part, we know every card by heart. Overture, curtain lights, this is it. We'll hit the heights, and oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
Radio, radio, Rambo, ears up, this is Easy Diesel, driving northbound up the Niner. Look, I don't know who's out there listening, but I sure got a hell of a story to tell. I was just swinging on a bum load, bussing a hot bird dog on an East Coaster when I started feeling shat-laced. So I pulled my riggy into a motel in Niagara Falls for an overnighter. I was treating my toots to a hangman's delight when I noticed some strange activity in the room next door.
The fuck are you talking about?
Every couple hours, there was this red van. It'd pull up and drop off three or four people at a time. Always some tie-dyed poncho pushers.
You know?
Escorting a couple dazed-looking ingenues, leading them into a room in their trance-like state. First, I thought that this was just a lewd game of blind man's finger. But then I realized all these people were going in, but none were coming out. There must have been 30 or 40 people in that one small room, and that ain't right. I decided this needed a man's investigation. I stood outside their door, but I heard nothing. I banged on a cinder block with a shovel for a while, but nobody peered out the window. Somehow that room seemed to be empty. The next time that van pulled up and dropped off more disappearing party cargo, I got in my truck and I followed it. A daring exploit to a truck man was like nectar to a bumblebee, and my proboscis was twitching something foul. I stuck a sticker on that van's dick for about 20 minutes. It pulled off the freeway and then drove me through an intentional community of co-parental homesteaders. All the streets were named after characters from Nora Ephron novels, like Sam Road, Rob Street, and Julie Way. I continued following it as it cut through a dark wooded stretch until it opened up to a manicured estate crowned by a glorious mansion with a backdrop of scary orchards. That van pulled up the drive and into a garage, and I parked my semi behind a bush so no one could see it. I crept up behind that mansion. I waited by a back service door until a chef came out to smoke a beady. Before he could see me, I pounced, knocked him out cold with a pile driver. I slowly removed his clothes with my switchblade, and I rolled his body underneath a nearby canoe, put on a chef suit, and I blended myself into that kitchen, which should come as no surprise, since I was once a profiterole runner on a Kentucky cruise ship in my youth. Anyway, after pumping out a dozen bread loaves in the shape of baby dolls with the boys, I snuck out into the hallway to find out more about here what's going on with this satanic baloney that was afoot. It was rich shit like I'd never dreamed of. I must have passed three or four robots and a bunch of bins full of free pumpkins. Then I reached a huge metal door, like something you might find in a rich man's sewer. An engraving on it read, Operation Midnight Fall. I pushed it open, and there I was roosting my beef in a massive abandoned opera house, all Argento-like, blistering with decay but crawling with activity. Under the proscenium, there was dozens of fine young sleepy ladies and gents with wires and tubes sticking out of their heads, leading out the back to running mill wheels and coggle engines connecting to log rides that feed into smoking chemical drums that line the brinks of industrial water farms guarded by dirty people with sticks. There was beeping and steam sounds, scientists with white lab coats and even whiter dreadlocks. They had these Scooby-Doo marijuana rings under their eyes. They kept communicating in scientific code.
You gotta put that brownie in your urethra.
Holy Bocephus. I stumbled upon an infernal project. Here was secret society, experimenting on innocent human beings, extracting the fog of souls to be used as some super drug. I wasn't sure about the extent of their plan, so I consulted the tarot. From my pocket I pulled a card, the Wheel of Crabs. This can only mean one thing. These rusted root Bilderbergs are about to release this midnight misty fog straight into the water supply. That's some ass in the jackpot now. I was about to snap some pics to send to Washington, but then one of the guards noticed I was wearing footwear, and I knew I was busted. chasing commenced. I knocked over a flaming sconce to screw him up, and then I escaped through some ductwork, exiting two stores down into a pony corral. I got in my truck and I sure didn't turn around. I got nobody else to tell all this to but y'all. No one's gonna believe me. I got a hunchback and a bad habit of huffing bug spray. And now as I sing my spit into CB radio land, this whole night has got me thinking about the dynamics of power. High society is always stooping so low, and the low always trying to be that high society. Y'all make no mistake. Right about now, the real power in this country is flower power. And they won't stop until we're all humming their tune. But don't you worry, truckers. Our time in power will come soon. Just don't drink the water and just keep trucking on.
You've probably heard the next song before. It's the Beatles and I Am the Walrus. But you may not have noticed the radio tuning going on towards the end of the song. John Lennon had the bright idea to hook up an AM transmitter in the studio, and he was telling drummer Ringo Starr how to tune the radio at the end of the song when you can hear a BBC version of Macbeth come in on the transmission.
Waiting for the sun. finds the right thing to Edmund Allen Glassman. He denies it on the condition. Oh, I'm here again.
Serviceable villain. Duteous to the vices of my mistress, standards of retirement.
Is he dead?
Sit you down, father. Rest you.
You gotta try something.
You got a job at the radio station?
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
We're joined by Howie Hawkins, who is the Green Party nominee for governor this year. Though, unfortunately, the state Democrats rewrote the ballot access law so that Mr. Hawkins' name does not actually appear on the ballot, even though he won that right to be on the ballot 4 years ago when he got almost over 100,000 votes for governor. The reason I asked Howie on today, and I should disclose, you know, I've been involved with the Green Party, is that the Second Circuit Court of Appeals and the feds unfortunately just released a ruling on the lawsuit that the Libertarians and the Green Party had filed challenging the law that effectively killed independent third parties in New York State. So, Howie, you want us to bring us up to date, and what did the court rule on this week?
Well, first, people should know how the law changed. To get and maintain a ballot line, they changed it from every 4 years the governor's race to every 2 years, president and governor. They more than tripled the number of votes you need to get, from 50,000 to 130,000 or 2%, whichever's higher. It's always going to be 2%. So in 2020, we needed 173,000 votes to get a ballot line. We didn't get that. So then we had to go petition. The old petition requirement was 15,000 in 42 days. Now it's 45,000 in 42 days. And they quintupled the number of signatures you need in half the congressional districts from 100 to 500. So they made it much harder. There were eight attempts to get a ballot line on a ballot. They all failed, including one by the Republicans, Lee Zeldin, their gubernatorial candidate, who got thrown off for photocopying 11,000 signatures, you know, on petition sheets and sprinkling them through his petition.
Well, he got thrown off trying to create an independent line, not as a Republican candidate.
That's right. For an independence line is what he wanted to call it. That was fraud. But he's on the ballot and we're not. We went to court when this law passed and basically said it's a violation of First Amendment political rights and 14th Amendment equal protection. And the district court ruled against us, the U.S. District Court. And that ruling, many of the facts were wrong. It's like they didn't read our briefs. You know, for example, comparing New York to other states. They said, well, other states have even more signatures. Yeah, but they have like a year to get those. We only have 42 days. So the judge didn't really know what he was talking about. And now the decision we just got this week from the Second Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals just announced the decision. They didn't explain themselves. They just said they affirmed the district court level. So, you know, the courts don't seem to be a place where we can get justice.
Yeah, so, there was a court case recently, though, I believe in the state of Arkansas, where a federal court went in the opposite direction and said that the efforts by that state to increase the number of signatures for parties to get on the ballot was unconstitutional. So it seems like there's inconsistency among the federal judges.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I was the Green Party presidential candidate in 2020, and our ballot access cases, all the judges are hacks. They vote their party line. In this case, the Republicans voted to put us on and the Democrats voted to put us off. In every court, in every election board, it's, you know, it's not looking at the facts and the law. It's partisan judicial, you know, misbehavior. So, yeah, it's hard to get justice in the courts. This is a democratic state. It's a democratic law. So our only option may be legislation, which, you know, we've got ballot access across the country eased somewhat since about 1970. And most of that has come from legislation, not litigation. And I've talked with Democratic legislators, and I think we can find sponsors for that bill, and then we just got to campaign for it. You know, most of these people know New York's ballot access requirements are off the chart. They're unjust, and their suppression of political debate.
Well, I also remember a number of years ago, I don't know if it's changed, but, you know, more than half of the ballot litigation in the United States was taking place in New York. And usually it was, you know, efforts by the two corporate parties to throw, you know, insurgent or independent or third party candidates off the ballot, because it's a lot easier to win an election if you knock off your opponents from the ballot.
Yeah, they're ruthless. They attack each other within parties. It's instead of letting the voters decide, they try to do it by, you know, technicalities and lawyers. And it's a shame. It's not serving the democracy.
And now, I assume the Libertarian and the Green Party, given the current makeup of the United States Supreme Court, is not going to be spending the resources to try to appeal the United States Supreme Court. So where does the Greens, the Libertarians, go from here with respect to, you know, the right of third parties to independent third parties? They do allow the fusion third parties, as long as, say, the Working Families Party is willing to, you know, cross endorse the Democrat for governor or president, or the Conservative Party, you know, cross endorse the Republican for president and governor. They will remain on the ballot. But any party that says no to the two corporate parties, the Democrats have said, you know, you're not allowed to exist in New York State. So how are you going to proceed with that at this point after this ruling? I understand you're going to run a write-in campaign for governor. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm running a write-in. If we get 150,000 or so votes, we'll get a ballot line for 2 years, and that will help the Green Party. It's a tall order, but we're doing the best we can. The plaintiffs in the case are the Green Party, Libertarian Party, the co-chairs of the Green Party, two of the Libertarian Party candidates. I'm not a plaintiff, but I know the lawyers and the plaintiffs are now looking at their options. They could ask for the full bench of the Second Circuit Court to review their case. They could go to the U.S. Supreme Court. They could take the case to the state courts. And I'll let them haggle that out. I think we'll do better with legislation, which is what I want to work on after the election. As well as other things, we need a really inclusive democracy. You know, for third parties, you know, the spoiler problem is a problem. People think, well, we'll split the center-left vote if we vote for the Greens, so... And then the Republicans get in, so we got to vote for the Democrat, even if we like the Greens better. Ranked choice voting.
Yeah, I've heard that recently this week. As you may know, the state staff for the Climate Action Council is recommending that because the Assembly refused to pass the one thing that the Climate Action Council had asked the legislature to do, which is to pass a building restriction that no new gas hookups or new buildings after 2024. You know, they're trying to push it back now a year. And, you know, apparently a lot of the environmental groups are saying, oh, we can't stand up and protest this horrible decision, even though it's very bad for the climate, because it might help people not vote for, you know, Governor Hochul and help Lee Zeldin. So we have to shut up until after the election about how poorly Hochul is doing on climate so that we don't get Zeldin as governor.
Well, that's self-defeating, isn't it? Because they've just decided they're not going to demand what they want. They're afraid to get a worse person in there. The person in there, Hochul, won't do what they want to do anyway. We're the only candidates running on the Green Party ticket, myself and Gloria Matera. If you want to write us in, you got to go down to the bottom of the gubernatorial column and write our names in that box. Keep it within the lines of the box so it will count. And we're the only ones supporting that. So if, you know, environmentalists want to support you know, any gas hookups by 2024 instead of 2025, and a whole range of other climate legislation, vote for the Green Party. Your vote is your voice. Make yourself heard. Otherwise, you get lost in the sauce because you're supporting someone who doesn't support what you support.
Well, we only have about a minute left. Now, New York City, you know, did recently enact ranked choice voting, but only in primaries, not in, general elections, and not in congressional races. There's a lot of concern recently that in the congressional district number 10, with a lot of liberals, they in fact elected the most conservative candidate. So in the last 50 seconds, where is ranked choice voting, proportional representation looking like in terms of legislature in New York?
Yeah, that was a dirty trick down there in New York City. They only did it because the Democratic primary, that's all it really counts down there. They didn't extend it to the general election where the Greens could take advantage of it, because that would have got rid of the spoiler problem. And then as far as the state legislature goes, we want to have proportional ranked choice voting from multi-member districts. So you get proportional representation. And by the way, you get rid of this gerrymandering problem, because it doesn't matter where you draw the district lines when you have proportional representation of all the parties in proportion to the vote they get.
We're out of time. Howie, you got a website?
Yes, HawkinsMatera, one word, .org for our gubernatorial campaign.
Thank you very much, Howie Hawkins, Green Party nominee for governor. This is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
Next, here's radio art from Rick Harris from the 1985 Telus No. 11 cassette called The Sound of Radio. This is This Real?
My body isn't listening to me. I can't remember the word for what I need. I need someone to explain everything. Bring all the specialists in the world together and explain.
When someone has a stroke in the left side of the brain, and brain cells die in any of the language areas, the frontal, the parietal, or the temporal lobes, aphasia can occur. Aphasia is a Greek word meaning no language. Every aphasic person is different. Some aphasics can write words and not understand their meaning when they read them back. Some can do complex mathematical problems, but be unable to form a sentence. Some can read aloud without understanding what they read. Some can read music, but not words. Often, an aphasic person will be thinking about something, will try to express it, and completely unrelated words will come out. As the aphasic person relearns language, the struggle is to say a sentence, not just a string of words.
Once to be, once to be, we to be, once to be, once to be. We to be, we to be, once to be, we to be, once.
He said that every word would bring up so many images, thoughts, memories, other words. They would push each other away. They would tumble over each other. Chaos.
If my hands could move now, if my fingers could move, I would go to the piano. Touching music with my fingers, touching sound with my living fingers. Music, touching music, touching music. Touching music. Be thou exalted above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Let mine enemies wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing in the morning. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Now, my heart is overwhelmed.
Give me my music back, without words of God, without that throne, that kingdom, that office. I hate. Yes, I wish everyone were blind.
Next here is radio art from Edward Haber. It's from the Telus number 11 cassette from 1985 called The Sound of Radio, and it's called Abbott and Costello Meet the Antichrist.
This Sunday, stay tuned right after Tapeworm Baseball for Abbott and Costello Meet the Antichrist.
Bud Abbott is the Animus.
Lou Costello is the Anima.
Spring Byington is the Magna Mater.
And John Ireland is the Beast.
In Abbott and Costello Meet the Antichrist.
What is it now, Costello?
Look at that throne.
Which throne?
That throne, the Holy of Holies.
You mean the seat of the throne of Jerusalem?
I mean the throne of Jehovah. I saw him sitting there.
What's the big deal? There's nobody there.
Oh.
Will you stop fooling around and shut up and pass me the Kabbalah?
Chick, I saw him there.
Who?
David Rockefeller.
Look, if I see you hitting the Holy Sacrament one more time...
See our two G.I. jerks say nuts to the Nazis like this.
Now, Homer, listen to me. It's simple. The forces of dark and the forces of light will fight for the last time.
You mean like Joe Lewis?
No, Homer, the apocalypse.
Oh, yeah, apocalypse, so I like that Jamaican music.
No. Don't you understand? It's Armageddon.
Armageddon what?
No, not Armageddon. Armageddon.
I don't understand. You tell me there's a final fight between dark and light, but it's not a title bout.
That's right.
You tell me it's Apocalypso, but it's not Jamaican ganja music.
That's right.
You tell me it's Armageddon, but the only thing I know is I'm getting tired of trying to figure out this book of revelations!
See Lou go gaga over curvaceous Hillary Brook, but bite off more hosts than he can chew when he winds up to his stripes in hot holy water.
Homer, it's kind of hot in here. How about if we step outside to the veranda?
That's okay by me, lady.
Why, you adorable little thing. You're shy, aren't you?
Ah, shucks, yes, ma'am.
Oh, call me Hillary.
Okay, Hillary.
Well, if you're ever lonely, Homer, you can give me a call. You won't regret it.
You're a nice lady. What's your number?
Here, it's 666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-666-
right after Tapeworm Baseball.
Well, there's a message. To absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Right. Sign of evil number 4.
We're continuing our sign of evil countdown. Here's Vanessa Williams.
Need.